Hey everyone, this podcast is meant for associate doctors getting ready to interview. And I think there's a lot of really deep inside information. We've placed over 1,000 associate doctors now at Kyer Matchmakers. So we've heard it all. We can really help you to get the best job possible. Listen to this podcast. This is meant for anybody who's interviewing. It's going to help you navigate. It's going to help you maximize your potential, your salary, and get the most out of this interview to make sure that this is a place you want to line up with. You're going to like this podcast. Hey, Dr. Mark, how's it going?
I am doing well. Dr. Allen, how about yourself?
I'm doing good. We're talking today about interviewing associates. You've probably got some stories. Anything come to mind first about wonky interviews you held or you doing a crappy job interviewing for an associate job?
I mean, once again, 18 months out of opening our practice, we run on our first associate. I thought we were just big, awesome, great team, you know, this small team, but lean team, and bringing an associate. And I tell you what, I fumbled a lot just having that conversation and knowing what to do. I hired a doc 12 years ago that literally for the first 3 weeks showed up half the time after lunch. Because he would go eat either Chinese or Mexican food, and he'd get a sick stomach, so he wouldn't show up in the afternoon for his shifts. So he lasted less than 3 weeks in my practice. So maybe I guess I should have taken him out for dinner. That's part of the interview that we suggest. So we never did a dinner interview, and maybe that was my problem, but I learned that there. So how about yourself? Any wonky stories from you?
Yeah, I think most of them come from hearing from our team at Kyer Matchmakers. You know, we match. And so it happens more than you think, where we got this beautiful job, a great owner, and we find a chiro who's just a perfect fit. They fit culturally, you know, either a technique's a match or their philosophy. And then the associate shows up, you know, unshaven, dirty fingernails, smelling like weed, smelling like smoke, haven't shaved, they ghost, they miss the interview or they're late. Like, it's basic stuff. You know, they look like they haven't washed their clothes in 3 weeks and they're wrinkled. It's like, and our team's just pulling their hair out because they know the heart of this associate, but sorry, they're getting judged. This is that owner. It's their business. They've worked hard to build it. And it's, we are doctors. And I know there's a bit of this culture out there of like the coffee shop lifestyle and not having to wear suits and ties anymore, which I'm not saying is the world, but there's also something to be said for looking professional. We are professionals, we're doctors, and I'm going to encourage associates interviewing, man, don't, right out of the gate, you are being judged. Your breath, you know, get some whitening strips if you need to, get a haircut, shave, some of those obvious things. You know, how's your body smell? A lot of chiropractors are natural. By nature, we're a little hippie-ish, but, you know, you got bad BO, that can be a strike on you. So that we'll just start there. That's not what this is about. I know those seem like obvious things, but we've heard them all. And our poor team sometimes is pulling their hair out when they know it's a dream job for this associate, and they just ruin it right out of the gate because they didn't take time to prep physically. Let's jump in, Mark. What do you think? Where do you want to take this? What are some of the key practices for people interviewing?
Yeah, I would say we got to start back. Everything you just said there was check. I mean, we're professionals. We're doctors. Everything that you just said about grooming to smelling good, to ironing your clothes, looking sharp, be sharp. One of our good friends says that, look sharp, be sharp, right? So I would tell you that's first and foremost, not just when you walk into the interview, but so many interviews start out in Zoom. You know, be at the appropriate spot. Don't be driving your car on your first Zoom interview, right? Yeah. You know, be in an office. You can be in a coffee shop, but be professional. Be dressed up right. Be sharp, be sharp. All of a sudden, what you're trying to do is you're trying to impress that doctor, right? That owner. And that owner wants somebody that's going to be in front of their patients. And one of the things I learned way back when, and you probably like this, remember this as well, but always be dressed better than your best dressed patient. And that's when I came out 23 years ago. And that was the saying, be dressed better than the best dressed patient. And I used to wear the button up and the, you know, the slacks and the dress shoes and the whole works. Now in my practice, I wear Lulu stuff. And, you know, it makes a difference because we've come down. But docs, when you're interviewing, number one, look sharp, be sharp. Number two, I will just say you need to, and I get frustrated when we interview CAs. If they haven't looked at our webpage and started to understand our practice and looked at the Google reviews, docs, you should be, before your first interview, you should be pulling up that webpage or where that doctor, about that doctor's office, studying that webpage like you were going into a classroom and you were going to study and take a test, understanding who they are, what their team looks like. We actually hired a gal in our office and she's a rock star. So we just hired her probably 12 months ago. This is CA. She came into our office and she knew every one of our names. She knew, she had gone on to our webpage and read about each staff member, and we had some personal stuff in it. And when we were shooting, we were doing a group interview with her. So it was my team, our board of executors, and the CA. She literally, each one of us was talking about our family and things that we had put on our website. Guess who got the job? She crushed it. Why? Because she cared. Care about the office you're interviewing for. I think that's going to, number one, not only help to connect to the doctor you're in, but number two, help you understand if you even want to work in that practice. How about you, Doc? Dr. Allen, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, and the next step of that is look people up on LinkedIn, social media. You know, a lot of people have their accounts public, so you can learn more about what makes people tick and shows you care. It gives you an inside advantage to connect with people. Here's the big secret of this podcast, Dr. Mark, that I want associates to appreciate what this means. By our numbers, there are about 5 job openings right now for every 1 available associate doctor. I'll say that again. There are 5 openings, meaning there is a ton of supply, there's a ton of demand. The associate is the supply, and supply is limited. There's only 1 doc for every 5 openings. I'm on probably not all the Facebook job pages, and it's amazing how often I see these days somebody's like, yeah, I'm here and I'm thinking of relocating. How many people chime in like, trying to get that person's attention? Why is that? Because there's so few associates out there. So what does that mean for the associate? Well, first, know your non-negotiables. Like, what's important to you? You know, you've got your pick of practices these days. So, you know, what technique, what hours, what style of care? What's the philosophy, the people you're with, the location? Like, you have control over these things, and it's going to contribute to the quality of your life. So, you know, Mark, we talked about before, you know, I'm big on writing down goals and my vision, and I know you are, and affirmations, and I've just done that since I was in chiropractic school. This is no different. You know, I did it when I knew I wanted to get married. What are the traits of somebody, you know, and a spouse that is my wife, Wendy? It's no different for a job. If you're looking for a job, take a minute. What are your non-negotiables? What are you looking for? Take time to write that down, because you've got your pick of a lot of jobs right now. That's a great lens for you as an owner as an associate. Remember, you're wanted. You're a hot commodity. So, leverage that.
Amen. And I love that one, Alan. I mean, the non-negotiables, what do you want? Because you are a hot commodity. Number two, I would add on to that is, what are the questions that need to be asked, right? Culture is such a huge aspect. There's so many different types of practices these days. There's adjust-only practices. There's PI workman's comp practices. There's multidisciplinary practices where you're working with other medical professionals. There's upper cervical. There's full spine. What are the questions that you need to prepare to understand, to be able to ask that owner and that team the culture of that practice? You know, also, you know, patient flow and how many patients do you want to see? That's the other thing. There's low volume and there's high volume and there's medium volume. Like, what does that look like to you? And I think those questions need to be put in place and asked so that you have an understanding of the true culture. I always tell the owners when I'm working with them, there are really three steps to the hiring process. There's a professional. Do they match professionally? Do they adjust the way you do and the volume you want to see and so forth, or need them to see? Number two, there's the behavioral aspect. And that's what we do at Cairo Matchmakers, is we use a licensed behavioral assessment that literally finds out if they can handle the job by what motivates demotivates and what stresses these doctors. And then the third thing I say is there's a cultural match, and we can't help with the cultural match. That's got to be the owner and the associate figuring that out. But are you a cultural match to be successful in that practice? Because that's probably the first thing that causes you to burn out, is if it's not a good cultural match.
You know, that's the best practice, is a lot of people, including us, use behavioral assessments. And so I'm going to say, if you're an associate, you don't know which one they use. There's literally hundreds of them. You can probably find free ones online. Spend a few bucks to do one. You know, the ones you can find are DISC, Myers-Briggs, Colby, Enneagram. The reason I say do a couple of those, so you understand, as an, before you apply for a job, who you are. And if the owner's using one of these behavioral metrics, you'll understand what they're looking at. Here's why that's important. Don't ever fake those. You know, your job satisfaction is going to be highest if the job's built around how you're naturally wired. So don't try to game it or guess what the owner wants. But knowing who you are helps you know your strengths, which is going to help you pick the right job. We've coined a term using these behavioral assessments. Most chiropractors, 70% of you are caregivers, meaning you are detailed, you're loyal, you're a great clinician, you care about quality of work, you like stable, predictable environments. If you know that about yourself, it's a great lens to ask questions when you're interviewing to find out, does the practice have these things in place that are going to support me if I choose to put my time and energy and focus there? Maybe you're an entrepreneur. Well, if you take these assessments, you'll see that. And then you'll know that, well, maybe I want a practice that has a little more upside potential on more of a bonus kind of a model structure. Or maybe there's an opportunity for me to take this practice over or buy into it. So knowing yourself by doing a couple of behavioral assessments are going to help when you do one that the practice offers. There's different business behavioral assessments that a lot of you won't have access to. The first time you see it will be when you're doing it. But answer it honestly. But if you've done a few, they're not that different. So you'll get an idea of what it's going to say about you, and then speak into that. Own it. You know, who you are. The happiest people know who they are. They have a high self-awareness, and they go through life looking for, you know, jobs, environments, friends, family members that support who you are. It's an energy drain when you have to be something you're not. So don't pretend to be. I think that's a definite best practice. And then another one, Mark, is the finances. We're famous and we piss a lot of owners off, but we think the best thing you can do is an associate doc is ask for financials. Ask for the profit and loss statement, the balance sheet. You don't have to be an expert. All you're trying to figure out is, what was the total revenue? How much money did that practice make either this year to date or last year? And how much profit was left at the end of it? And if that profit number's big, you know it's a lot more stable business. You know it's probably a better run business. Now, sometimes you have to understand the owner might not want to show a lot of profit because they have to pay tax on it. But the owner should be able to explain that. Say, you know, I took a big salary or distribution, so I didn't have, or I had extra expenses. I bought equipment, but normally I wouldn't spend $200,000 on equipment or distribution, you know, if I have an associate. So having that conversation will help you understand how healthy that business is. Don't pretend to be a financial expert. Don't waste time trying to become one, but very simple. How much money comes in, how much goes out, how much is left tells you the health of the business, and how much is left is what you should be paid out of. The red flag is if the owner maybe took home $150,000 and they're trying to pay you out of that, that makes me nervous, because the owner needs to make a living out of that practice. And if they're not going to be able to make a living out of the practice because they need to pay you, that's going to put a really scary pressure on you as an associate doc, versus if there's healthy cash flow, they're going to be able to afford you.
I love that. I think the next step in that iteration is, you know, I think you and I both hired a lot of chiropractors, and some of them are right out of school, and some of them have, Dr. Mike who replaced me, he's in his 60s, so he has 41 years of experience, right? So, you know, is there a sense, Doc, as you're interviewing, are you looking for mentorship? Are you looking to become a better doctor? Are you looking at, needing to be trained up, because I would call you, a newer doctor out of school, less than 2 years out of school, maybe even 5 years out of school. Maybe you had a bad experience your first associateship and you really weren't taught. But you're looking to have mentorship where someone's going to step alongside you and want to teach you. And I've had seven associates who came right out of school, and I've had seven associates who were what I would call seasoned doctors. So, those seven that came out of school, including one, my son, who I want him just to be the best he can be. With all my associates, it's the same way, though, is I want to come alongside of them and mentor them. And we train. I mean, Dr. Amber's been with me for 15 years. We train every single Monday for 45 minutes. And she's been on trainings for 15 years, every week, 52 weeks a year. And why is because we want to be a mentor. We want to help grow them. So you need to look in, and is the doc going to be in the practice with you? And a lot of times what's going to happen is the doctor who's burnt out, the owner who's burnt out, they'll want to hire. I hear this often. Oh, I'm going to hire him. I'm going to go on vacation. Let him go, right? I'm just so burnt out. But that's not, if you need mentorship, you don't want to run a practice on your own. You have somebody who wants to come alongside you and help you grow. And then there's the opposite, is the micromanaging, right? Is this practice a micromanaging practice where, all of us need some freedom? I give my doctors freedom to, see new patients and diagnose and take care of their patients. I'm not micromanaging. They're running a practice with inside of our practice. There's a difference between mentoring and micromanagement. I think you need to understand that going into these interviews and understanding who they are. And I would be honest with you. I think if they have other associates, I think you should interview the other associates, and the owner should allow you to do that. And I've had many associates. I sit down and I'm like, go ahead, ask my associates away. Free. I'm out of the room. I'm not even in the room when they talk to my associates. And the reason why is I know my associates love their position. They're going to tell them exactly how it is and how we work. So if there are other associates and other staff members, you know what? Ask if you're free to have a conversation with them and how that owner actually treats them.
Flip side of that, Dr. Mark, we've been hiring lately for some of our decompression clinics, and training's a big deal for us, but a lot of associates hate to train. They don't want to be coached. So know that about yourself. You might not want to be mentored. And so you know that if the owner's going, we train every week, like Dr. Mark just said, for 15 years, you might go, oh my gosh, that sounds awful to me. Well, you need to know that. Because there's a lot of practices that don't do that. If you want room to do your own thing, so knowing who you are you coachable? Do you want to be mentored? Do you not want to be mentored? It's going to help you dictate a job and a role. Something to build onto that too, that's a really, I love that point, Dr. Mark, about interviewing the staff, the other associates. Along with that, I want to see metrics in the business. Does the practice keep metrics about how they're doing? Do they keep, how many their adjustment volume, their referrals, their how long somebody stays, we call retention, their lifetime value, how much they collect per adjustment or per visit, how much it costs to deliver per adjustment, how many new patients come in. There's a lot of different metrics. They're usually tailored to what's most important to the business. But if you're looking for a great business, ask to see, what metrics do you guys measure and why are these important? Now the owner's telling you, and you're going to get a really good sense as you're interviewing. So don't forget to ask about the financial statements. Don't miss asking about the metrics and why those metrics are important and what they mean. And what do they show the owner? Like, what do you see in these numbers? Do they show that you're growing? Do they show you're stable? And that helps introduce a conversation about why they're looking to hire an associate doc. To wrap it up, Doc, one thing I'm going to just end this on is value's a big deal, isn't it? Like how does an associate, I know we always say money follows value. And at the end of the day, you need to understand as an associate, if somebody's paying your salary, they need a return on that. So if they're going to pay you $100,000, how are you going to generate 3, 4, 5 times that so that you make a good salary, but you're benefiting the business? Any thoughts on that thing to wrap us up?
Yeah, I think once again, it has to be a part of the cultural conversation you have. What's that look like to be able to make $100,000? So, I mean, if you're going to produce $300,000, you have to know what's it cost for an adjustment? What's their average collection visit? You have to know what work you need to put in. Unfortunately, we hear a lot of times is they want $100,000, but they don't want to put the work in. I want to work 18 hours a week. pretty much impossible if you're going to make $100,000 to work 18 hours a week. There also has parameters around there that the average chiropractor who's doing over $100,000 is probably working 30 plus hours a week. They're not working 60 or 80 anymore like they used to. Some of us went into it, but they're still working 30, 35 hours a week, seeing patients, building a team, bringing value. What's the value that you can bring? Do you love going out? And are you one, once again, behavioral assessments will help that, but are you one that loves to go out and build connections to community and do talks and screenings? That might be a way you bring value to that office. Or you might be on the other aspect that you love just building connections and doing one-on-ones and asking for referrals and, you know, do, maybe doing internal workshops that you love to do and, you know, maybe taking care of babies and mamas, or maybe there's, you know, something that you love to do like nutrition and you want to help with supplementation. So you help launch a nutritional program in the office, but there has to be value that you add to have a doctor be able to bring you in, because obviously it can't be one-to-one because this isn't a nonprofit process. This is a for-profit process and businesses need to produce a profit. And that means exponentially, you need to bring in more than you're making.
Yeah, we've placed a couple docs who are experts. One in PI knew how to use decompression and notes and exams to really maximize the case value in PI. Well, he almost had his pick of the job anywhere because he was bringing value to that clinic. I think of somebody else we met at an event and the guy was a dry needling expert who right away could bring in like $50,000 a month in dry needling. That it was easy for him to find a job. So be thinking of what's the value. Don't minimize your social media influence. If you've got a good number of followers and you can direct them to the practice you join forces with, that's something too. So we got to wrap it up, Dr. Mark. Think there's gonna be a lot of value. I hope a lot of people who are going out interviewing take the time to listen to this podcast.
I tell you what, it'd make a big difference in the jobs they'd get for sure if they did.
Absolutely.
Take care. Till next time. Bye-bye.
Till next time.